So I wanted to talk about the Seahawks for a second. You said that they were expecting to win. Maybe they didn't win by as much as folks were expecting them to. But I've noticed in this last week, it was a 500 weekend, we should be feeling neutral, maybe semi-positive. But I've noticed there's a lot of unrest in Seattle, particularly among Seahawks fans. Have you noticed this also?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Jerry Brewer's column in the Seattle Times on Monday, which, you know, pointed to, what, questions abound about the Seahawks?
Yeah, questions abound. And I think that I've made the mistake of listening to sports talk radio a little bit in the last week for brief periods of time. And the general consensus seems to be that people are not happy with the Seahawks. So I want to take a moment here and address this issue.
You want to take all Seahawks fans?
No. I'm happy with Seahawks fans in general. It's just this idea that something is not happening that should be happening. So quickly, what are we expecting? Right now the Seahawks are 5-1. They're good by advanced metrics. From DVOA, they're second in the league, Football Outsiders. Their offense is 10th in the league. Defense is second in the league. Special teams are 6th in the league. All near the top of the league, in the top third. They're 5-1. They have the schedule throughout the year to gain the number one seed in the playoffs. There's really no reason to be disappointed whatsoever. We lost at Indianapolis in a game that they probably should have won. Every single game this season, there's only one, and that's probably Houston, where I would have said that the Seahawks should have lost that game. We're coming off a game against the Titans where the Seahawks significantly outplayed Tennessee. It just so happened to be that the scoreboard didn't bear that out till the very end. In consecutive weeks, they've had fluke plays, which were 10-point swings, where they're kicking a field goal and the other team scored a touchdown. I can't imagine that happening almost any time for the rest of the season. It would be some sort of extreme bad luck if that happens a third or even a fourth time. In those games, if they hit those things, the Seahawks probably beat the Colts, and they're going to beat the Titans in a much more sound fashion. Russell Wilson has been extremely consistent. He hasn't thrown a lot of touchdown passes, maybe less than he did last year, but he's run the ball really well. Our receivers are playing well. The defense is playing at probably a higher clip than we would have expected at this time. I don't really understand what the expectation was.
One way to turn this around on you, as I like to do. Let's talk about your fantasy team, even though it's not the fantasy section. Your fantasy team is 4-2, has scored by far the most points in the league, wins all tiebreakers, and is in first place. And yet you're still upset because you envisioned this is the perfect season.
Yeah, my perfect season is
so
two losses.
Your opinion about your fantasy team is very similar to me, to the way Seahawks fans have perceived this season. Like, it's close enough to being 6-0 that you focus on not being 6-0 as opposed to all the very good things that the Seahawks have done to get to 5-1.
I think that those are probably two pretty separate issues here. But it's true. And it really, the issue is this the idea of expectation. All we need the Seahawks to do, our number one goal with the Seahawks, is to get the first seed in the playoffs, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's that and stay healthy. That's all that matters during the regular season.
And they are set up perfectly right now to get that number one seed in the playoffs, especially with the Saints losing to the Patriots and playing the Saints at home. Right now, they're doing this all without many key parts who are injured. You've got Percy Harvin, obviously the star wide receiver, who's gone and could be back within the next 2 or 3 weeks. They played most of the season without key offensive linemen, without Russell Okung, one of the best offensive linemen in the league, without Breno Giacomini, without Max Unger for a game. They've done it defensively, still the second best defense in the league after the Chiefs, who I'm going to compare to the 85 Bears later. They're number two after the Chiefs without Chris Clemens for a period of time, without Bruce Irvin for 4 games, without Brandon Browner for a period of time. What are these expectations? We should be thanking the gods that we're 5-1 right now.
Ah, thanking the gods. Well, I want to get back to what you were saying about schedule. Football Outsiders says that the Seahawks' future schedule is 31st in the league, that the only team with an easier slate of games remaining, Tennessee, oddly, having already gotten Seattle out of the way. But New Orleans, by contrast, has the fourth hardest schedule remaining.
And where's San Francisco on there also?
San Francisco is also very low. They're 29th.
I suppose the NFC West just plays easy teams.
Well, it just turned out that the AFC South is much softer than we expected, and the good team in there, Indianapolis, both of those teams have already played. So that schedule turned out not to be as difficult as we're looking at. But anyway, that's again, the big advantage why the Seahawks have the inside track on the number one seed, along with the fact that they're also just playing the best of those teams. So, you know, all of that is positives. I mean, I think if I'm looking at reasons for concern, I mean, I think the third down struggles the last few weeks are probably right up there.
And do you want to talk more about the third down struggles?
Yeah, you know, I broke it down using Pro Football Reference's play index tools and ran some numbers on it. So the first 3 weeks of the season, the Seahawks were converted 41.5% of their first downs. The last three games, actually I'm including third and fourth downs because I think those should be put together. Last three games, they're only 29.5%. And one of the first things I thought was, well, the offensive line has been struggling, obviously, with the injuries. Are they in worse situations? And the answer is actually no. They were averaging 8.2 yards to go for the first down and for the first 3 weeks of the season. And since then, it's been 7.1 yards on third and fourth down, which is actually pretty much league average. The surprising thing is the first 3 weeks, the Seahawks were actually kind of lucky. They picked up three third downs of 11 yards or longer. I think almost all on Doug Baldwin catches.
I was going to say, you have to give some credit to Doug Baldwin there.
Absolutely. And Doug Baldwin actually is... he's picked up 9 of the 21 first downs that the Seahawks have converted through the air this year. But the other interesting thing is, early in the season, it was all passing conversions. Of the 17 third or fourth downs the Seahawks picked up, 15 were by pass, one was a Russell Wilson scramble, and one was a rush by Spencer Ware, actually, at the end of the Jacksonville game. The last 3 weeks, they've picked up, again, 13. Six of them have been by pass. Five of them have been by Russell Wilson scramble and two by rush. So I think that, again, gets back to the offensive line. Wilson hasn't had that time to throw, and when he's picking up these third downs, it's been with his legs get scrambling out of pressure.
But you also agree that third downs tend to be generally fairly random.
They're definitely much more random than...
than the other aspects of the game. I actually think that this third down conversion rate, instead of being a cause for concern, the fact that they're at the bottom of the league right now and 5-1 is a cause for excitement going forward.
Let me put it this way. The difference between the Seahawks being league average and being as poor as they've been over the last 3 weeks is four conversions. So, you know, you turn one of those golden tape plays where Alteron Verner was able to break up a slant, you know, early in the first quarter on Sunday, turn one of those or two of those into completions, and all of a sudden the numbers look much better. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's worth freaking out about.
The third down conversions?
No. And in general, you know, I think the Seahawks are doing what they should do. I think the other thing, you know, you're right, expectations is all of it, and expectations are so important in every aspect of life. But part of why these expectations are so out of whack is the end of last season when the Seahawks were just crushing opponents left and right. But as we've talked about before, that's not the NFL. The NFL is most of the time about grinding out close victories, and the Seahawks still have the third best point differential in the league right now.
Absolutely. So basically, we should feel good. Right now, we should be feeling very good. Our chances of getting that first seed are still very high. I think this cause for panic is just maybe a need to think something right now.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it, is there has to be a storyline. Team playing as expected does not play well as a story. You know, you have to find, if it's a team playing well, you find where are the weak links. What is the team doing that's falling short of expectations? So should we look ahead to tomorrow's Thursday night game against Arizona, a short week?
Absolutely. So looking forward, to be honest, I'm scared of the Cardinals.
Yeah.
After saying all of this about how I feel like the Seahawks are playing to expectations, probably even better than some of my expectations, and playing like the second best team in the league, I'm scared of the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Cardinals rank 24th on offense. They're not a particularly great offensive team. 7th defensively, though. 21st on special teams. And we talked last week about how kind of the cream of the NFL is really good on special teams. And that's probably part of the reason why the Cardinals are a little bit lower. But they are .500 with a pretty poor offensive line. And that's how good that defense has been playing.
Yeah, I mean, that's historically been the strength of their team. And, you know, they've been just kind of decimated by their quarterback play in the past. So when they get even mildly competent quarterback play, which is about where I'd place Carson Palmer so far this season, then that makes them a dangerous team.
It's true. They're especially good against the run, so I would not expect the Seahawks to run the ball particularly well tomorrow. Russell Wilson scrambling is a bit of a wild card in there. They limited Colin Kaepernick pretty heavily. Last week against the 49ers, they held Frank Gore to 4 yards per carry, which is lower than he's averaging, but didn't exactly stop Frank Gore completely. And the 49ers won that game and scored 32 points. But they're especially good at running to the left side, at stopping runs to the left side, which is where you'd probably expect the Seahawks not to try to run with Paul McQuiston having struggles over there at left tackle with Russell Okung out. Their secondary is a little bit weaker. Patrick Peterson is obviously one of the emerging cornerbacks in the NFL, but they haven't been as strong as the D-line.
One thing that stood out watching off and on Sunday's game against San Francisco, obviously two long touchdown passes to Vernon Davis. Has that been an issue for them all season?
I have no idea. I have no research on this, on whether the tight end has been an issue for them all season.
Well, that struck me as intriguing, especially with Zach Miller coming back into the lineup this week.
I thought about that also. I did no research on how they did against the tight end. It was something that I was considering. But I wanted to focus more on their strong run defense and looking at what they did at Doug Martin in week four from Tampa Bay. Doug Martin, obviously one of the best running backs in the NFL last season. They held him to 45 yards on 27 carries, good for 1.7 yards per carry.
That's a little disconcerting, but obviously they were able to load up against the run, against Tampa Bay, Mike Glennon making his first start. Russell Wilson's going to present a little bit more of a threat than that. And I think what is interesting, you mentioned Patrick Peterson, and he's a shutdown guy. So if you're a team that has one primary wide receiver, I think that's a big issue. But someone like the Seahawks, where they spread the ball around as much as they do, and you know probably their best receiver is Doug Baldwin, certainly statistically.
Absolutely.
I think that's an advantage for the Seahawks. If you take away Golden Tate or Sidney Rice, fine, there's plenty of other guys out there for Russell to find.
Looking on the other side of the ball, Carson Palmer has been kind of the weakest point for the Cardinals. You say that he's playing like a league average quarterback. Right now, he's not.
No, I said marginally competent.
A marginally competent quarterback.
Which is a major upgrade over John Skelton, and I can't even, Brian Hoyer was actually out there. Whoever else they were throwing at.
Not sure that he's playing that much better than John Skelton and Brian Hoyer. Right now, he's playing.
They lost 58-0 to the Seahawks last year. Okay, let's. Do I have to drag up the box score from that game?
Right now, he's the 32nd ranked quarterback per Football Outsiders, which ranks him not dead last, but of 32 teams, there's more quarterbacks who play than that. He has 11 picks in 6 games. In this game coming up, I do believe that the Seahawks are going to have a hard time moving the ball. I think that the difference is going to be not if, but when Carson Palmer throws at least an interception, if they're able to turn it into points or a long return and get something there.
I agree with that. I think that, I thought this about a few games where it hasn't necessarily come true, but I think this will definitely be a situation where it's a low-scoring game and a couple of big plays, a pick six, a thing like that, could really just change the entire tenor of the game and have an incredible impact on the outcome. The other thing, the thing that concerns me in that regard is Andre Ellington is a big play weapon for the Cardinals. If they finally turn him loose and stop plunging Rashard Mendenhall into the line for 2 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah, we'll see what they end up doing with Andre Ellington, their rookie running back. He's been especially good this season. He's, by Football Outsiders, one of the best running backs in the league. He's been the top runner who hasn't had enough carries to qualify as kind of their main running back category. He's been much significantly better than Rashard Mendenhall, but they do have a tendency to turn the ball over there too, and Bruce Arians has shown a willingness to continue with Rashard Mendenhall, basically.
You wanted to come up with a stronger word there. A blind spot for Rashard Mendenhall, maybe? I don't know.
He's had a strong urge to run Rashard Mendenhall.
You just got to resist that urge. But after Thursday. After Thursday.
So I would expect it to be a low-scoring game, and we'll see what the Seahawks can get going offensively. I would not expect the Cardinals to put together too many long, sustained drives. That said, what do you think the chances are of winning this game?
I would say somewhere around 70%. I mean, you're going on the road against a decent opponent. You certainly have a realistic chance of losing, but I think the Seahawks are the solid favorite, if not heavy favorite.
I'm curious to hear you say that high, because I was thinking 60%, and most often I've been more confident than you've been. But the last few weeks, you've been more confident than me, which I suppose has been a good thing.
Well, if it plays out correctly, yes.
But I was thinking it was about a 60% chance of victory. I'm very scared of that Cardinals defense. And if the turnovers that Carson Palmer commits or Rashard Mendenhall fumbles and it doesn't necessarily lead to anything and the offense stalls, it might not take very many points for the Cardinals to win this game.
True. The upside is that the Seahawks, outside of last week's bizarre fumble-itis, I guess it was contagious a little bit last week, have taken very good care of the football. And, you certainly don't worry about Russell Wilson in terms of protecting the football and winning the turnover battle.